Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from John chapter 16. I read for you again these words of Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So far, the reading of the text. Dear fellow redeemed, our Lord's words sound too wonderful to be true, don't they? But what if you actually got everything you ever dreamed of? What if all that you had ever asked for had landed in your lap? What if you had a sort of Midas touch, except that instead of having everything you touch turned into gold, you would get every wish you ever expressed turned into reality? How would you like that? Well, of course, it would be your ruin, just as surely as Midas touch was his ruin. If everything you touch turned into gold, it's hard to give your daughter a hug or eat a cheeseburger. If every thoughtless wish and word out of your mouth came true, well, to whom have you hastily said, I wish I never had to see you again? I wish you were dead. Just go away forever. Would your daydreams of lust and power, if they came true, make your family happier or miserable? If you had all the money in the world like King Midas, would you find that the Beatles were right after all, and you can't buy love? And yet, the world continues to think that the key to prayer is learning how to get what you ask for. If you only learn to say the right words, have a more strategic prayer effort, do the right thing, or have enough faith, then God will have to give you what you ask for. Now, years ago, I saw in the newspaper a prayer shawl or a prayer rug that with it was the claim that if you used it and send in a donation, your prayer would come true. In our day, many of you have undoubtedly seen that on a Facebook post, there is something that sounds so good, and that if only you share it, whatever that wish is will be for you, or maybe you'll come into an unexpected gift. And if by chance you don't get what you ask for, it's your fault. You didn't do something right. And still, it's tempting to believe such false promises. Who hasn't thought at one time or another that we can cut a deal with God in prayer? Many, many years ago, it would have been called a foxhole prayer. Lord, if you just get me out of this, if you save my life, I will go to church every Sunday. That's a little more specific than, Lord, just do this for me and I'll, and you can fill in the blank. But this is nothing more than trying to manipulate God, to twist his arm, to trick him, to cut a deal with him, and turn the universe to our own desires. It's the same temptation that Satan used in the garden. Do this, and you will be like God. And that's the heart of unbelief and sin. The desire to rule and reign in God's place, to get what you want instead of what God wants to give. It's the desire to be in control. But Satan is a liar. You can't be your own little God. You don't know what's best, even if you think you do. You should not get whatever and everything you ask for. If you did, it would be a disaster, and you can't be in control. God is not a genie who exists to give you your three wishes. He is God, and He is your Father. And Father really does know best. We might think that our problems are money or disease or anger or our rotten family members or our unfair boss. And surely those are problems, but Father knows best. He knows the real problem that stands in the center of all of those. Our sin. Your sin. And so the Father did not answer humanity's prayers as we asked them. He did not send us a guru to write a book to sell for $24.95 with the secrets to getting our problems solved or getting what we want. Instead, God the Father sent His Son into our flesh to bear our sin, to suffer our pettiness, to be cast out, despised, rejected, crucified, dead, and buried. Who would have ever seen that coming? Who in all of human history would have asked for that? Certainly not you or me. But that's what you needed. That's the only way salvation could be brought to you. God the Son had to become a human being and pour out His life for you on the cross. So aren't you glad that instead of being talked into giving you what you asked for, God gave you what you needed? And you can rejoice that Jesus tells you how prayer really works. He says that the key to prayer is not learning how to get what you want, but it's learning how to pray in Jesus' name. That doesn't mean you can say, "Dear Lord, put $1 million in my bank account and strike my enemies with terminal cancer. In Jesus' name, amen." That's not praying in Jesus' name at all. For Jesus' name means the Lord saves. Jesus is the Lord who saves His people. That's Jesus' name. It tells us who He is and what He does. Prayer in Jesus' name is prayer that goes along with who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Think about how our Lord Jesus knelt down to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night in which He was betrayed. He earnestly prayed that there might be another way to save us, that would allow the cup of suffering to pass from Him. His prayer was earnest. He sweat drops as of blood. His soul was moved to its depth. And He was utterly sinless and pleased his heavenly Father. And still he said, not my will, but thine be done. That is prayer in Jesus' name, for it is as Jesus prayed. A prayer that is in accord with who God is, in line with his will and wisdom and mercy and grace. So don't be discouraged or fall into despair when it seems as though your prayer goes unanswered. For there are two mysteries here. First, there's the mystery of God's will. We learn from Jesus to always pray that his will be done and not ours. And second, there's the mystery of the brokenness and fallenness of this sinful world. God has not promised to remove all of the evil from this world right at this moment. Therefore, you should expect suffering and disappointment to come to you in this life. You should expect tragedy and sorrow. All that is not to say that God desires these things or takes pleasure in your suffering. Far from it. He is your loving Father who desires all good things for you. He is working out your salvation. He has provided for that ultimate salvation in Christ. And yet, this world is still in labor pains. Until Christ returns to destroy this world and build the new one, hardship and sorrow will be among us, especially among us Christians, for the world hates us so. But through it all, we have the comfort of the Father who sent his Son to save us with his death and resurrection, who sends his Spirit to draw us to him through baptism, where we receive new birth and we receive with it the new birthrights. And one of those birthrights of Christians is prayer. So ask. Pray. Your Heavenly Father loves to hear you. He has promised to hear you and answer your prayers as are best for you and those for whom you pray. All in accord with his will, in conformity to Jesus' name. He loves you with an everlasting love. The proof is all around us today as we hear his word and receive the most gracious pledge of his love, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, which was sacrificed for us. Let the prayers of Christians ascend in thanksgiving and praise for a grace so lavish and a gift so eternal. The Lord has heard, and he does hear your prayers. And he answers them and has answered them. But perhaps his answer will surprise you. But it is the best answer you could have to any of your prayers. For his answer is to give you himself. To say to you, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, receive riches that do not rust, that cannot be stolen. Come, receive love that will never fade. Come, receive me. Take, eat, my body given for you. Drink, my blood shed for you. For I am truly the answer to all your prayers. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.